Thanks for being here this evening. Let me get this on. Oh, it's on. Good. Congratulations, of course, to the parents and to the kindergartners. They made it to their first school graduation of a few, okay? More to come. But it's an exciting night for the families, of course. Now, I'll say this. If your child was the one that got us a little bit off on the even numbers, don't stress it. No biggie. Most of us didn't notice it. And those of us that did, it makes the night better, okay? I remember when I was, one of my earliest memories was my kindergarten graduation. And they had called us up there to receive a certificate, and it was about four of us, three or four of us standing up there. And I had mine right here. And I'm standing there looking at it, and they dismissed everyone to go down, but I didn't get that memo. So I'm stuck up there, and I'm still looking at it, and I was probably reading it. I was probably reading what was going on. Now, you gotta give me a break, because congratulations is a pretty big word for a K-5 graduate. As far as I remember, it's not one of the sight words that they teach you. But someone came up and ushered me down. I guess I got the memo after that. But I'm going to move these real quick. Sorry, there are some papers that were distracting me down there. Brother Kyle, you ever get distracted when there's like stuff out of place? I know you're an organizer. Anyways, the point of education here, and really child-rearing, is this fact. It's the fact that one day, they grow up. Yep. That's it. And the fact that they grow up, they are the future. They are. Therefore, we educate, we pray, we spend time, we spend money, and we invest in them. I just realized this. While preparing, Pastor Myers, you mentioned the guys that you were watching their kindergarten graduation. So when they were in kindergarten, 13 years ago, I first started working in ministry. Now, you probably remember when I was in kindergarten, when you were not too long into ministry. But I was thinking about that. My first year in ministry, the guys that will be graduating and ladies that will be graduating tomorrow night, walking across the platform and entering into adulthood, I started working in ministry when they were in kindergarten. Now they're going to adult life. And you say this, time flies. Time flies. And we as parents and we as a school and as a church, we have a limited time to invest in their lives. We really do. And so we don't take that lightly. Every stage is important because who they will become, say, oh, so cute. I know. They grow up quick. Who they will become and what they will do in life is being shaped and determined even right now. That's why we do what we do. That's why Christian education is so important. That's why Brother Chim, Pastor Myers, Brother Jeremy, the staff, and everyone around here does what we do and have a heart to invest in the young ones. In Scripture, we see that God has a heart for them during the younger years. Here it is. The title of my little challenge, and I'm not going to be long. Watching the time here, okay? I think 8 o'clock, 16 minutes. The reason why... Pastor Myers asked me to give this challenge, and the challenge is called Little Ones. That's what I want to talk about today, Little Ones. Let's look at the book of Mark. Let's look at the book of Mark, chapter 10. I'm going to skip a little bit of stuff here. 40 times in the Bible, the phrase little ones is used. Now, some people would say, oh, little ones means the marginalized of society and the ones that people don't think are important. Well, you say tomatoes, John Esposito says tomatoes, same thing, same principle. They're not mutually exclusive. They can go for the same principle. Here it is. 20 times we see the phrase little children, and more than that, we see young children. Now, Pastor Myers asked me to give a brief challenge. Automatically, the term little ones came to my mind. So I got on my Bible software program, Chris, Sword Searcher, right? I opened it up, and I looked it up, little ones. Then I looked up little children. Then I looked up young children. And as I scanned down through the Old Testament, the prophets, and I got to the New Testament, I realized that Jesus, 5 or 6 times, he specifically used the phrase little ones, little children. And so just for about 10, 15 minutes here, I want to look at Jesus' heart for the children. And then I want us to look at 3 practical applications that we can take as a church, as a school, and as parents to see these young people grow up to be what God wants them to be. And that's what it's about. So let's look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 here. First, we're going to look at Jesus' heart for the little children. And let's look at verse 13. verse 13 says this. It says, and they brought, what are the next two words? Say it again, what are they? And they brought young children to him. Now, a child would be 11 and under in Scripture, but these were young children, younger than that, that he should touch them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. So maybe it was some parents, maybe it was some aunts or uncles or friends, and they had some, the Bible says young children, and they brought him and they ushered him to where Jesus was sitting and where Jesus was teaching. He's sitting there and the disciples came up and the disciples said, no, no, they rebuked him and they shunned him away. But the Bible says that Jesus was much displeased. He put it in our lingo. He wasn't a happy camper with what they did. Look here. Much displeased. He said unto them, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Don't stop them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a, what are those next two words? Little child. You know what I love? I love the faith of a little child. I really do. You know, you go out and get some, Tim was talking about, they're talking to some, it was a hard-headed, it was a Japanese guy, an atheist, just an old guy, and he's, I don't want to talk about Christianity, don't want to talk about religion. You get one of these kindergartners, I was so blessed to be able to take my daughter to Asia. And we got to go watch them offering incense, and we talked about demon worship and idols and all that kind of stuff. Just the faith of a child, it's refreshing. It's refreshing. And Jesus said, that's how you ought to be. But we see, he says, whosoever, oh, I'm sorry, look at the last part there. It says, and he took them up in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. So here in Mark, we see Jesus' heart. Jesus, we sing the song, loves the little children, right? All the children of the world, red, yellow, black, white, they're all precious in his sight. So that's his heart for the children. Now, for just a couple moments, let's look at three practical applications. Go to Matthew real quick, please. Matthew chapter 10. So we're still thinking of the phrase little children, little ones, young children. That's who we're recognizing tonight. It's who's graduating tonight. It's why parents, family, and friends are here. So that's Jesus' heart. Now let's just look at some practical applications that we can take here, and we can do in Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 42. Look at verse 42, please. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And this is what Jesus says. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You see, what's the point? Now, however we interpret little ones here, children can are very applicable. What's he saying? When we invest, he said, even if you were to take just a cup of water and you were to give it to a little one that's thirsty, no matter how small the investment, if you take your time and you invest in a little one, you are investing in eternity. Yep. Am I reading that wrong? That's what it says. He said, if you give just a cup to a little one, you are laying up rewards and investing in eternity. Look, that's why we do what we do. That's why we invest in the little ones, because they are the future and it's worthy of our investment. The disciples thought, oh no, they're just kids. They have no business being here. Jesus is busy. Jesus is teaching. The Bible says he was much displeased. He wasn't a happy camper. Why? Because Jesus loves the little children. He desires that we invest in them. What did Jesus do? He invested his time. He invested his love. He invested his blessing. Is that not what we're called to do as parents? Is that not what we're called to do as a church? To invest in them. Number two. Moving along in Matthew. So number one, we are to invest and to instill God's truths into them. Sorry, Pastor Meyer said, this is kindergarten graduation, be nice. Okay, so I was going to leave this one out, but I have it on my notes. I don't have my iPad. If I can say this, this is not investing in them. Look, I know they like the digital and virtual babysitter a whole lot more than the human one. I know that. You know why? Because the virtual one never tells them no. The virtual one does whatever they want it to do. Can I say this? Look, let's make it a priority. Let's understand the importance of investing God's word and God's principles and God's truths into these little ones, because it's Jesus' desire that we do so. Number one, he desires that we invest into them. Number two, he desires that we protect our children. If you look here in Matthew chapter number 18, Matthew chapter number 18, and verse number 6, Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, the Bible says this. And by the way, Jesus has some harsh things, not just in Matthew, to say about those that would harm or offend a little child. Jesus may take that lightly. Look here. He says, whoso shall offend one of these, what are those next two words? Say it again. He says, whoso shall offend these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. What's Jesus saying there? He's saying, I don't want anyone offending. I don't want anyone harming a little one. You say, what's the point? As parents and as a church and as a school, you know, one of our biggest responsibilities is to protect our children. Look, there are plenty of philosophies, institutions, people that can harm them. And we have a sacred, God-given task to protect them to the best of our ability. That's why I'm so, so glad that we have a Christian school here. Because we can protect them from the filth of the public schools. We can protect them from the philosophies. You know, on Fox News and CNN today, the new NASA probe just found a $2.5 billion little organism that probably shows what life was. No. No. I'm glad that here at our school, they don't get that junk. They don't get that indoctrination. At our school, when they talk about the planets, God made them in one day, made this all in 6 days, and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what they learn, and that's why we desire to protect them. Let's protect them. Look, they're so precious. At this age, and many of our children, they're still innocent. Let's do our God-given best to keep it that way. Let's protect them. Number three, and I'm done. What's Jesus' desire? Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Look down to verse number 14. Verse number 14. Here it is. Number three. Jesus desires that we lead our children to him. Here it is. He said, even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these, what's the next two words? Little one should perish. And in Mark 10:14, I already mentioned it. He said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Look, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We can teach them history. Look, I hope they know that Washington was the president or father of our nation. And I hope they can name the continents. And I hope that they can name the 50 states and the presidents. I hope they can. I hope that their subject-verb agreement lines up by the time they graduate. I hope they can spell, all right? I hope they can add up, and I hope their mathematics is good. I really do. But at the end of the day, if they learn all that, but we haven't led them to Jesus, we failed them. We have. Number three right there, Jesus said, look, he said, suffer the children to come unto me. He said, he's not willing that any one of these little ones should perish. The goal of Christian education, the goal of our church, our goal as parents should be that every single one of our children come to Christ, not just for salvation, but to seek, to find, to follow, and to finish God's will. That's what it's all about. And we're thankful, so thankful for our church. We're thankful that we have a Christian school. We're thankful for our teachers that sacrificed to make it happen. And again, congratulations for all that happened to bring this night to fruition. Brother Chim, it's all yours.